Hello, my name is Rebecca Herrera, and for my podcast, I intend to provide insight to how eye disorders in general may arise, about the details of them, specifically glaucoma and retinitis pigmentosa, and most importantly, about diagnoses and potential treatment/prevention provided by research. I really want to delve into eye disorders because not only are they extremely fascinating and intricate, but they have affected some of my family members. To begin, we all know that any disorder has a genetic and environmental component. However, there is more details into the genetic component through the exploration of microRNAs. According to Raghunath, these are members of the family of non-coding RNA molecules that regulate gene expression by translational repression and mRNA degradation. Simply, these little pieces of mRNA molecules play a huge role in genetic regulation, specifically in certain pathways. These relate heavily to eye disorders, since any malfunctioning in miRNA expression may lead to these disorders, since eye physiology depends on the perfect orchestration of all its regulatory networks. Vision is priceless, and according to London et al., the retina is a window to the brain. The eye and the brain work hand in hand to translate sensation into perception. London et al. Explains how the retina is an extension of our central nervous system. Therefore, any neurodegenerative disorders affecting the brain and spinal cord consequently produce manifestations in the retina, allowing us to understand both CNS and eye-specific pathologies better. According to Yontas, glaucoma is a condition in which the intraocular pressure is too high for the person's eye. This is caused by a blockage of the openings that let aqueous humor drain from the anterior chamber. If aqueous humor cannot properly drain, this pushes back on the vitreous chamber, creating increasing pressure on the head of the optic nerve. This damages retinal ganglion cells and leads to gradual vision loss. Many individuals do not realize this increase in intraocular pressure is present until it is too far advanced, leading to complete blindness. According to Chung et al., glaucoma is the leading cause of global irreversible blindness, specifically among the population of 40 to 80-year-old individuals. He claims that the rising numbers project that people with glaucoma will increase to approximately 112 million by 2040. Therefore, proper screening and treatment by primary physicians and ophthalmologists is critical. So how can we promote greater diagnoses of glaucoma before it reaches this advanced state? Ophthalmologists generally measure intraocular pressure with a tonometer. In addition, an article published on JAMA Network discusses the importance of examining the optic nerve head for neuronal loss by using an ophthalmoscope and by obtaining optic nerve head photographs. However, according to Busso et al., we can diagnose and screen for glaucoma with optical coherence tomography. This imaging modality evaluates glaucoma damage by non-invasively allowing for cross-sectional 3D imaging of the retina. Through this sensitive method of detection, we can begin treatment to slow RGC loss and preserve vision. To treat glaucoma, an article published by Senna on NCBI discusses neuroprotection for treatment of glaucoma among adults. Neuroprotection is defined by any intervention intended to prevent optic nerve damage and or retinal ganglion cell death by protecting nerves. These neuroprotective agents do act as pharmacological antagonists to prevent cell death. However, there's still not enough evidence that these agents are effective in preventing RGC death. Specifically, there are two types of glaucoma, primary open-angle glaucoma and primary closed-angle glaucoma. A review on JAMA Network defines primary open-angle glaucoma as an increased resistance to aqueous outflow through the trabecular meshwork. The main feature distinguishing primary closed-angle glaucoma from primary open-angle glaucoma is that the angle is obstructed by apposition of the iris, resulting in an anatomically closed angle. Treatments such as topical medications can decrease impending pressure. However, for angle closure, the first line of treatment is laser peripheral iridotomy, which creates a hole in the iris to eliminate pupillary block. My mom had closed angle glaucoma, since she went through this laser procedure a couple of times. Since eyes treated with iridotomy may still develop pressure over time. Therefore, she had to follow up with her ophthalmologist. However, iridotomy is most effective in decreasing pressure in the early ages of disease, but once angle closure optic neuropathy becomes extensively developed, its effects are subdued. Another eye disorder is retinitis pigmentosa. Yontis defines retinitis pigmentosa, RP, as an inherited condition in which there is a gradual degeneration of the photoreceptors over many years, often leading to night blindness and tunnel vision. According to the article Retinal Diseases and Vision 2020, these types of disorders are inherited and are the main causes of childhood blindness. However, if these retinal conditions are diagnosed early, they can be prevented and treated in their early stages of onset. Unfortunately, according to this article, it is projected that retinal disorders will continue to increase to over 30 million by 2020, specifically in poor developing countries. My aunt, who suffers with retinitis pigmentosa, lived in a poor community in Los Angeles. She had always complained about not seeing well when she was younger, but due to her family's financial circumstances, she never got checked by a primary physician or ophthalmologist. Fast forward 15 years, by age 26, she was declared legally blind due to her condition. If she had been diagnosed and treated earlier, the onset of her condition could have been prolonged by a couple more years. This is why an accurate diagnosis with a detailed and clear prognosis is so critical, to allow for provision and low vision aids and genetic counseling. Retinitis pigmentosa doesn't provide much evidence for prevention and treatment. However, the Journal of Ophthalmology has suggested the use of gene therapy, retinal implants, and retinal transplantation. Gene therapy attempts to modify mutant ocular cells by replacing the missing or insufficient gene product to produce therapeutic effects. However, its strategies and effects depend on the inheritance of the disease and the mutation targeted. Retinal implants have been examined through retinal stimulation using epiretinal implants in RP patients. According to Hugh Mayen et al., with stimulation, patients were able to see spots of light that were colored and the direction of their movement. However, the long-term effects of such implants has not been assessed thoroughly. Along with this, retinal transplantation places sheets of developing retina and retinal pigment epithelial cells into the subretinal space. Like, how innovative is that? Unfortunately, these cells of the transplanted tissue have no evidence of integrating with or developing synaptic connections. Researchers are still working to design therapeutic strategies to slow down RP's degenerative process. Well, that includes the content of my podcast. I hope you enjoy learning more about eye disorders and how crucial diagnosis is, and the developing research that's coming about. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.